Now then, our first contestant is Carl. All right, my loves?
Higher!
Eh?
Higher!
Hang on.
Lower!
We haven't started the game yet.
Higher!
Now listen, hold your horses.
Higher!
Speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers. Okay.
Hello, listeners. Ooh, I'll start again.
That was rubbish.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to podcast number 20. We're out of our teens, officially. Hello, Napoleon.
All right, my loves?
Ah, that's not your normal voice. What's going on there?
Well, I thought, obviously, we've had a sketch, I'm assuming by now, so you might have a clue as to what today's podcast's all about.
It's about one man, one legend.
One man, one legend, Mr. TV, Mr. Showbiz, Bruce Forsyth.
Yeah, you're a big fan, I take it.
Me? I love Brucey, mate. Yep, I love him. He's brilliant. When I was a child, I used to watch Play Your Cards Right. Used to watch that. I used to watch Live at the Palladium, though I think Jimmy Tarbuck was in it when that was on. I used to watch The Generation Game. It was a bit older. Loads. You name it, I've watched it. If it's got Brucey in it, I've watched it. Admittedly, sometimes under duress, and I've not wanted to.
Well, that's the thing for me. I'm not really sure why we're doing an entire podcast about him, because he kind of represents everything about ITV, light entertainment, primetime, Saturday television that I would rush to avoid as a child.
He's a national institution.
He may be a national treasure, a national institution. He's also really annoying.
He's in the same category as other national institutions, which are Cilla Black.
Yeah,
who I've got a lot of time for. You see what I did
very
there?
Very good. Yeah, very
see what
good.
See what I did there?
Do it again.
I've got a lot of time for Cilla Black.
Very good.
Chuck. who else? National institutions. So you've got Cilla Black, you've got Bruce Forsyth, you've got Jim Davidson, Paul Daniels.
Hold up, back up.
Jimmy Savile, what?
Back up.
Back up, what?
You can't have Jim Davidson in there.
Why can't you have Jim Davidson?
Because he's a racist.
Oh, he is a racist, isn't he? All right, well, I'll spin back. Who did I say after Bruce Forsyth? I said Jim Davidson, didn't I?
Yeah, you can't have him, but you said Savile, then there was someone before Savile.
Daniels.
Debbie Daniels?
No, not Debbie Daniels. Debbie McGee, the lovely Debbie... No. Right, let me start again. You've got Cilla Black... Bruce Forsyth, these are national institutions, British national institutions.
Cilla John Black, Keys?
No, no.
Spike Milligan?
No. Cilla Black, Bruce Forsyth, Paul Daniels, Jimmy Savile and Jim Davidson. There you go, five. Five national institutions.
You're not having those last two Jims.
What, I can't have Jimmy Savile either? Jimmy Savile, Leeds, jewellery.
Are you all right?
I was having a bit of a spasm.
Yeah, you can't have Jimmy Savile. He's not a national institution. What's he ever done?
Well, Jimmy Savile, he's a national institution.
Well, define national institution. Well, he belongs in an institution.
Well, you've heard of him, for a start. He's definitely British, whether you like it or not. He lives in a caravan in Leeds.
No, that's not true. He lives in a bachelor pad.
I thought he lived in a caravan.
What gave you that impression?
Well, somebody told me down the pub once that he lived in a caravan in Leeds. In a park.
Well, you trust this bloke down the pub, do you?
Well, no, not really, to be honest. I mean, he once told me that Elvis had set foot on British soil. And I said, no, he hasn't. He never has done. And it turns out that Elvis he landed in Scotland on a US Army base. Now, is that British soil if it's a US Army base?
I've heard talk of that. That might actually be true. And technically, yeah, that would be within our realm, I believe.
But isn't it when it's a US Army base, isn't that treated as American soil?
Hmm.
Same with embassies, isn't it? Same with embassies. Not number ones or regals. Embassies. Right, so I can't have Jimmy Savile either.
No.
Well, that's down to three national institutions now.
Well, we also had Spike Milligan and John Cleese.
Yeah, but are they really national institutions?
Michael Palin.
Well, yeah, I suppose I'd go for Michael Palin. Stephen Fry, I suppose. Is he
one? Trevor McDonald.
Trevor McDonald. Who's the editor of the Sunday Sport?
I don't know. Is there one?
Yeah, well, him anyway. So that's all of them. And amongst that lot, you cannot deny, is Bruce Forsyth.
Yeah, Brucey. He's a Brucey bonus.
He is a Brucey bonus. Didn't he do well?
He did, and you don't get nothing for a pair, not in this
game. Not in this game. What do points make?
I believe they make prizes.
They certainly do. Okay, dollies, do your dealing.
Watching TV in our pants. Getting out the mini chanders. It's watch with mothers. It's watch with mothers.
Right, let's start off in the present day, before we go on a Brucey-themed travel back through time.
It's a Brucey-fest.
It is a Bruce-fest. Yeah, we're going to look at Strictly Come Dancing, his current vehicle, which he's presenting despite being, what, 92 now?
He's 81 years old.
Is he?
He certainly is, yes. He was born in 1928 or 29, 1929, I think. Or no, 1928. So that makes him, well, 1928. So 1938, he'd be 10. So you can add, if you get up to 1958, you're adding 20 years on there, aren't you?
Mm.
So that makes him 30 in 1958.
Oh, well, now, I wonder what it was like to be 30 years old in 1958 and Bruce Forsyth.
Well, I imagine quite good, actually, because by that stage he was already presenting a TV show, wasn't he?
Yeah, I wonder how big...
I think...
Sorry.
No, you bang on.
I was just wondering, was his chin, is it getting smaller or bigger, or has it remained the same?
I think his chin's pretty much remained the same. I think it's a Jimmy Hill sort of scenario again.
Mm.
I mean, you see those old photos of Jimmy Hill when he was still on his playing career, and the chin was there.
Yeah, true.
But on a much younger man. It's weird when you see footballers that you're not used to seeing as actual footballers. So, you know, say you've grown up with, I don't know, Ron Atkinson, the racist. All of the other ones anyway. The old style guys, like Jimmy Hill. And then you see a grainy old 1950s photo of him. You think, bloody hell, that's Jimmy Hill, but he's young.
That is strange, especially with, even though it's quite recent, Alan Hansen, he looked so boyish, and now he just looks like a cantankerous middle-aged bastard.
Middle-aged old Scotch git. Don't like Alan Hansen that much anymore.
I mean, either he's only really got one bit of shtick, hasn't he?
Which is?
Diabolical defending.
That was a good impression, that. We need to wrap that up as another fantastic Watch With Mothers impression.
Yeah, also maybe an entire podcast about football.
Well, that could be contentious, because not many people actually like football.
Yeah, but D-I-N-L-T will be happy.
Yeah, that's one listener.
Mm, true. We're meant...
Yeah, four star, he'll be happy. These are all readers of the site. People who don't read Watch With Mothers won't know who we're talking about. But like in life, the majority of our readers don't actually like football.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, it's like this whole shit over the moment. There's a controversy going, isn't there, about them showing an England match on the internet exclusively.
Is that not going to be on TV at all?
No, it's exclusively on the internet. So you pay £4.99 up to £11.99, I think it is, on the day.
Mm.
And then you get to watch a football match on your, you know, 19-inch computer monitor on your own. They're all moaning, all the football fans, because obviously they're used to putting on a 60-quid sweaty replica shirt, going down a pub, acting like a bunch of monkeys, blind drunk on Carling, and going, ooh, England, England, like that all the time, so that they can't do that this time, and they're moaning about it, complaining.
I don't think you can actually get blind drunk on Carling, can you?
Where you can get to a certain sort of ruddy drunk that you see in Magaluf, places like that.
Yeah, where you're sort of half asleep.
Yeah, you can get fighting drunk, but I don't think you can get drunk, proper drunk.
No, it's not proper beer.
No. So, anyways, there's that controversy going on about that at the moment, and I think, well, why are you moaning about it? You're not legally obliged to watch an England match. It's as simple as that. You either want to watch it, in which case pay a tenner, or shut up.
Is it a friendly?
No, it's a qualifying World Cup qualifying match, but we've already qualified.
Yeah, it's a bollocks to it.
So it's a meaningless football match, and they're all complaining about it. Whereas most people would complain if it was on the telly. So for once, people who don't like football are getting their way.
Well, yeah, but you could say this. We're not talking about Strictly Come Dancing.
Oh shit! Sorry, no. Right. So, did you watch Strictly Come Dancing?
For my sins, and purely for the love of this this podcast, I just watched probably about 30 minutes of it. I forwarded a lot.
Right. That is quite a lot. I mean, we agreed, didn't we? Mm. We'd both sit and watch this shit. I reckon I skimmed through, to be honest. I didn't sit down solid straight and watch minute after minute. I did skip through on the iPlayer. I watched the intro, I watched a bit of the dancing, I watched a bit of the training, I watched a bit of the judging, and then I thought, bollocks to this, and I skipped to Gary off of EastEnders.
I skipped to What's-His-Face off BBC Breakfast.
Oh, that idiot.
He's not an idiot, he's alright, he is.
He's a short ass.
You can't have something against him because he's short.
Yeah, he can. It's a time-honoured tradition. I'm not short, he is, therefore he's a short ass.
Okay, well, yeah, he's vertically challenged, but he's all right.
He's not all right. He's a grinning monkey. He's ruined the amount of breakfast shows. He's ruined. His partner in crime appears to be that Scotch lady. They're forever buggering off and doing something. They're getting on my nerves.
Which Scotch lady? The weather lady.
The weather lady. The grinning weather lady who says everything's going to be all right every morning. She's standing there in the pissing bloody rain.
Yeah, I reckon there's something going on between her and Bill Turnbull.
Well, are you sure?
She calls him Billy.
She does call him Billy, actually, doesn't she? Yeah. Do you think they're husband and wife?
I think they play sort of baby games.
Do you think they play dirty games?
Dirty baby games.
Dirty baby games.
Dirty baby games.
Dirty baby games.
Yeah. Strictly Come Dancing.
Dirty baby games.
Strictly Come Dancing.
Strictly Come Dancing. So anyway, that's him covered. So, what were your impressions of Strictly Come Dancing?
You want me to do an impression?
No, not an impression. What were your impressions of Strictly Come Dancing?
Good game. My impression.
You don't get anything for a pair. Not in this game.
My impressions of Strictly Come Dancing is I've got one note.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "I can't believe they actually called
him Brucey." Is it this one?
Brucey.
Is it this one? Bong.
No, it's not that one. I mean,
all right, carry on.
Like a written note.
Oh, right, sorry.
I've put, they actually call him Brucey.
Well, everybody calls him Brucey. He's been known as Brucey for, well, how long have you been alive now? 40 years, is it?
30 years.
Yeah, whatever. But for however long you've been alive, whatever. You see, I'm trying to improve my Liverpool now. Do you know I did a disastrous Liverpool impression the other day?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's got better. Listen to this. Whatever. You're joking me, aren't you? See?
I'm in my room. Just put it on my makeup. Makeup.
They do that, don't they?
They do that, the Scousers. No, they called him Brucey behind his back. They don't do it to his face. But Tess Daly was brazenly saying, "You're right, Brucey."
Brucey? Yeah, but she's from the north.
That's true.
Yeah, is we she have no though, manners up here.
Is she from the north?
She's from the north, yeah. She's she sounds like a Lancashire lass.
She's faking it.
Do you think so?
I could do that. I could go on telly and pretend to be northern just to try and get some kudos. And anyway, the BBC are always going to employ someone.
What kudos do you get from being northern?
You're going to get employed by the BBC if you've got a funny accent. It's the way it works.
All right. Well, shall I ring the BBC tomorrow then, shall I?
Well, you haven't got a funny accent.
Can I have a job, please? Hey, up. I'll ring him up, shall I? Hey, up, is that the BBC? And I'll say, yes, yes, it is. What do you want, you filthy northern pig? Can I have a job? You certainly can. That's not going to happen.
Well, no, but your accent isn't strictly northern. It sometimes slips into sort of Birmingham.
Yeah, well, it goes all over the place, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I blame a combination of living in Lincolnshire followed by living in Aldershot, of all places, over the British Army.
Right, so that's Tess Daly covered.
Tess Daly, she's the one that's married to Vernon Kaye, isn't she?
Yeah, imagine going around their house, Jesus.
She's a big woman. I wouldn't know what to do with a woman of that size.
I'd run a mile.
She looks like she's about 8 foot.
She probably is.
Too big. That's a freak of nature, that.
Right, so she's too tall. BBC Breakfast News sports anchor is a short ass, according to you.
He's a short ass, yeah. I'll tell you what, should I just written down what I've written about the judges here?
Yeah, let's go through those.
Right, Len, he's an idiot.
Isn't he called Ben?
No, not Ben, Len.
Yeah, he is an idiot. He can't pronounce his R's, can he? Not that I can perfectly, but...
Well, you're not up there with R. But, you see, I can do it easily and for free. But free, see?
I can say the word rumba.
What, by going rumba? Can you say rumba normally?
I can say it like Len.
Could you say rumba?
I'll say it like Len.
Go on, then.
Wamba.
Wamba. You're very good at doing a wamba. However, your feet appear to be both left feet.
Yeah, exactly. That's Len sorted.
That's Len. Right, so Alicia, lovely. Oh, should we move on?
Yeah, she's lovely.
Mrs. is in the room. I don't want to talk about Alicia. She's lovely. Let's just say that. Well, actually, she's a lot lovelier than Cheryl, isn't she? Who I would say is her main reality talent show rival.
Cheryl
in the looks department, yeah.
Yeah, she's better than Cheryl Cole because she's got a little bit of personality there, hasn't she?
She's got a bit of meat on her bones and all. Mm. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Bit of meat on her bones. Right, Bruno.
Which one's that?
Oh, the Italian.
Oh, yeah, I know the one.
Oh, I'm not known for stereotyping my European cousins, but Jesus wept. He's awful.
Yeah, he's not great. He's not the
Is
worst,
it the whole of Italy? Couldn't they have picked somebody who was slightly less Italian?
I'm blind to this because I don't know what their credentials are. Is he a dancer himself?
Bruno, I think he's either a dancer or a dance instructor. As far as I know, all of them are dancey people, apart from Alicia, who won Strictly Come Dancing, if I remember rightly.
So she's the most recently dancey.
Yeah, she's the recently, but the criticism is her that she's replaced a choreographer who obviously knows loads about dancing because, yeah, it's dead hard, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's only worthwhile criticising that move if... What's her name? Sheila?
Arlene. Arlene Phillips.
Arlene, if she wasn't a shrieking banshee.
Exactly. I mean, I personally can't stand people with foghorn voices. I think they're idiots. And notwithstanding myself, obviously. but I agree with you. A shrieking, hideous, awful banshee of a woman... And everybody's moaning that they've replaced her with a bit of loveliness.
Well, there's nothing to complain about. We're running way ahead of time. I think I'm going to have to remove this stuff about cigarettes.
Yeah, get rid of all that shit. Yeah, yeah. We'll just stick with Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah, what bit about cigarettes? What are you talking about, Swine's Head?
I don't know what you're talking about. What the hell are you talking about? As Bruno from Strictly Come Dancing would say.
What about Craig? He trades on being camp, no doubt about that, but...
Yeah, but I can't stand... Like I've already explained to you, there's camp and then there's shit camp. And as far as I'm concerned, he's in the shit camp.
So he's not a great British mincer?
No, he's not a great British mincer. He's not in the fine tradition of Dick Emery, Larry Grayson, John Inman. He's none of that. He's trying too hard, quite frankly. Again, and I can't be doing with it. I like professional mincers, mate. Not in that sense.
Hello there. You're listening to the smooth and groovy sounds of Watch With Mums. Here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep or perhaps masturbate into a cup. Watch With Mums.
Right, we're meant to be moving on, well, moving back.
No.
Meant to be going into the past of Bruce, but we haven't really covered Strictly Come Dancing enough.
No, we haven't, because it's a dancing show. And what have we forgotten to mention?
The dancing?
The dancing, yeah. I mean, there was somebody who came to the iTunes site the other day and said, this podcast tells me what I should or should not be watching on TV. He's that well informed by these podcasts, apparently, allegedly. So, for that man, whoever he is, I think we should at least talk about the dancing on a dancing show.
I'm confused about that review. What we do recommend TV shows, but generally stuff like Heidi High.
Yeah, Heidi High, Strictly Come Dancing, Keeping Up Appearances.
Yeah, we've talked about Onslow a bit, I think.
I like Onslow. I like that dog in a car.
Last of the Summer Wine.
Last of the Summer Wine. Are You Being Served?
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
So, the dancing.
Right, the dancing. So, I've written Linda Bellingham is built like a bulldozer.
Oh, you're very...
What?
You judge people on appearance a bit too much, don't you think?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Well, there's more to people than just
right,
what they
okay.
look like.
Adolf Hitler walks in your room. Do you judge him on appearance?
Well, I'd work out who he is based on
his
appearance.
No, you know who he is. If Adolf Hitler, dressed like Adolf Hitler, walked into your room, what would you think immediately? Shit, that looks like Adolf Hitler. I don't like him.
Well, I'd think he was a zombie.
A zombie?
Well, he's dead.
Oh, yeah, all right. Well, say you went back in time. Say you invented a time machine. Yeah, you invented a time machine. You went back to... well, we don't want to make it dangerous, do we? About 1932.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right, so in walks Hitler. There you are. You're in... You've time machine that gets you to Berlin, obviously. Not London. Hitler wasn't in London, was he?
I was going to say, what's he doing in Hackney?
He's not in Hackney. He's in Berlin. Right. You've invented a time machine that specifically takes you back to Berlin in 1932.
When he was
right? Run with it.
He was a harmless painter, wasn't he, at that point?
No, he wasn't a harmless painter. He was already the Chancellor of Germany in 1932. You people don't know any history. That's the problem with you.
Right.
Right. Well, anyway, you're now in Berlin. I've lost my point.
There was no point. Apparently, if I see Hitler, I'd judge him on appearance.
Right, exactly. So you moaning about me doing the same thing, that I've just proved I'm right now.
Right, so Linda Bellingham, apart from what she looks like, what else you got to say about her?
Nothing.
Right, move on.
Right, Gary, I watched Gary off of EastEnders doing the Paso Doble, is that right?
I don't know, he's lost a bit of weight, hasn't he?
He has lost a bit of weight. He was dressed up like Zorro, he looked like a Wazzock, but he was dancing to Queen.
Was he?
Yeah, Queen. One Vision, Queen.
Good
song.
Yeah,
song?
That's a classic song.
Yeah, it is good. I like that. Anyway, he's dancing to Queen. And what he was actually doing was he's kind of walking around, stamping his feet, looking like he needed a poo. He had a face where he had a very bad attitude, he looked to have. And he kept getting a round of applause every time he jumped up and down whilst grimacing. He was bloody awful.
In what way did he look like Winnie the Pooh?
No, he looked like he needed a poo, not like Winnie the Pooh. He looked like Zorro.
Like he needed a poo?
No, like Zorro needed a poo, not like Winnie the Pooh needed a poo.
How would that affect Gary if Zorro needed a poo?
No, he wasn't dancing with Zorro. He was dressed as Zorro who needed a poo. It says here in my notes.
Did you see Sonia off EastEnders?
I did see Sonia off EastEnders, yeah. I'll not tell you what I wrote about her, because it's, well, yet again, judging her on appearance.
Well,
what have you written?
No, this is like Anne Robinson, because I think if you've had cosmetic surgery, then it's open for debate.
Yeah, but she's not had cosmetic surgery.
She's got new boobs.
She's got new boobs?
She's got a new pair of boobs.
No, she's... Has she?
Yeah, have a look.
Oh, apparently she has.
What, has the missus told you that?
The missus has just confirmed it.
See?
Oh, no, she says she's lost a load of weight, so you're wrong. That's right, she had an exercise DVD. Didn't do her a lot of favours in the end.
She may have lost
Sorry,
weight.
I've judged her on appearance.
Right, Google Natalie Cassidy boobs.
Natalie Cassidy boobs, right, yeah. You do know that my computer's pretty near an open window. Fucking hell.
Stick the safe search off.
Right, safe search. No, I'm not turning safe search off. Hang on. Natalie Cassidy boobs. God, it's the first time my computer's ever had this search done on it. I can tell you that for nothing. Our new look, Natalie's boobs, now too big. Right, yep, you're right. Fair enough.
Good.
All right.
There we go, you see.
Right, go on then. What have you got to say?
I haven't actually got anything to say apart from she's got new boobs.
Is that it?
Well, yeah. What have
you got? So I went through a potentially damaging Google search, yeah?
Yeah.
Just because she's got new boobs. That's all you've got to say about Natalie Cassidy. The fact that they'd done her up where it looked like she'd washed her hair in glue, that's neither here nor there, is it?
Well, I'd say her new boobs. We've given away a hot celebrity fact.
What, that she's got new boobs?
Yeah, Natalie Cassidy, new boobs. Move on.
Move on. Fair dues. Right, okay then. No, that's it.
Is there any others?
Oh, no, the other thing I've written is, who the fuck's Ricky Whittle?
Yeah, there were a few I didn't recognise.
Yeah, Ricky Whittle? I mean, when it says celebrity come strictly come dancing, Brucey says in it, doesn't he? Says, here's our celebrities today, my loves, or whatever. Yeah. And then he introduces people. The mighty Joe Calzaghe. Well, I know who he is.
He's a boxer.
Yeah. Gary off of EastEnders. I know who he is. Ricky Whittle?
Doesn't ring a bell.
No, never heard of Ricky Whittle, but apparently he's a celebrity. The only other thing I've written here is that most of the female professional dancers look like Eastern European porn actresses.
Well, I was going to say that that's probably the most entertaining aspect of it, is the female dancers and Alicia.
What, just because you like women?
Well, I'm judging them on appearances, but in a positive way.
Ah, well, fair enough. Well, I think that's that all covered then, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose.
Well, it just leaves it for me to say thanks to Dave Arch and his wonderful, wonderful orchestra. I got this hideous diarrhea coming out of my anus. I'd rather be greedy watch with mothers. I've got this diarrhea. It really needs to.
Okay, going back in the Bruce Forsyth time travel machine.
The cannon. We're not going to Berlin this time.
No, no Berlin. We're going back to when? 1970?
The 1970s and I think the 1990s. His tenure was twofold upon this show.
The Generation Game.
The Generation Game. Oh, yeah. What is it like?
That's the name of the game. And I want to play the game with you.
Do-do-do-do-do. Like.
Can be terribly tame.
Oh, I don't know anymore.
And I really, really need a poo.
And I need a poo right now. Da 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 da. There you go. So, yeah, Bruce Forsyth's Generation Game. Did you like it?
Never liked the Generation Game, no.
Why not?
Well, my generation's was Jim Davidson. And I don't just dislike Jim Davidson based on the old right-on reasons. Cause
Nick,
yeah,
all that.
He is a terrible racist and a homophobic moron as well, and he's not very funny.
He doesn't like the gays either, does he? He doesn't like the gays.
No, and his stand-up's not very funny, not only because of the subject matter, yeah, all that business, just because he's not a very likable person, is he?
He's not. The only time I warmed to Jim, I mean, I will admit, I used to like Big Break. But I liked, you know, it was in that snooker crazy snooker time we all lived through. Do you remember?
Well, we were snooker loopy nuts, were we?
Yeah, we'd come out of the darts era and suddenly we were in snooker mania. And I think Jim Davidson, Chaz and Dave, snooker, it all fitted together like a glove. John Virgo with his trick shots.
Yeah.
You know, and just for that brief moment in time, you forgot that Jim Davidson was a terrible racist. And a sexist, and like you say, a homophobe.
As did the BBC. The BBC seemed to forget as well.
Well, yeah, the BBC decided that Jim Davidson was going to be their big Saturday night star. They'd lost Brucey to ITV, and so they thought, right, Jim, we're pulling Jim up a thing, which I don't understand, because the BBC traditionally has been run by people who don't like those sort of people, really, aren't they? It's all quite left-leaning, the BBC, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. It's a socialist collective, yeah. So...
Whereas your Jim is, well, as we said, a right-wing, reactionary, racist bigot. But for some strange reason, they thought, yeah, that's exactly the sort of character we want heading our Saturday night schedule.
Well, I suppose the public speak. Yeah?
The public do speak.
With their mouths. No,
their mouths.
You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Well, the public loved Jim back in the 90s, didn't they?
Yeah, the public loved Jim. I mean, the whole point was that quite a lot of the British public for quite a long time were as racist as Jim Davidson. It's almost like we're singling Jim out as an uber racist. But actually, I remember growing up in the 1970s and 70s and 80s, and absolutely everybody was a racist that you met who was an adult, almost.
Who was that black comedian, Lenny Bennett?
Charlie Williams?
Could be. Has he got a Bolton sort of accent? Like,
yeah, hello, my name's Charlie Williams. I tell you what, I met this black fella the other day. And you're thinking, Jesus, even the black people were racist.
Exactly, yeah. That's,
towards black people.
That's exactly the point. It was a very odd time.
Yeah, he was a child. Well, not a child, but he came out of that era. Bernard Manning. They were all, they had a show, didn't they? The Comedians.
Yeah.
And I think they all sort of came out of that sort of thing of mother-in-law jokes and jokes about Asian people and all that. And Jim just wouldn't let it go. And I think eventually the BBC woke up to this fact and banished him. And didn't he end up on a restaurant show and then he had a go at, was it the gays he had a go at?
Yeah, he had a go at ex-Big Brother winner.
Yeah, not even the way I had a go at the gays, you know, which was having a go at bad quality mensing.
But Les Dawson came from that period, didn't he? He didn't have any of that kind of material, did he?
Yeah, but that's it. Les did mother-in-law jokes and stuff like that. He didn't do racist jokes, did he?
Yeah. What about Mike Reed?
Mike Reed, yeah, he did the odd racist joke, I think, in the 70s. But I think he was rehabilitated, wasn't he?
Well, they sent him to Walford, and there's a lot of black people there, so he had to fit in.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah. But I think he was a bit near the knuckle in his live shows and what have you.
Yeah, you see those VHSs at car boot sales, don't you?
Yeah, Mike Reed, yeah. And it's usually from some club in the East End where he's there covered in gold jewellery having a go at the immigrants.
Live and lewd. Like
yeah, live and lewd, yeah. Not for minors and all that, yeah, because he says fuck every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm sure they're entertaining in their own racist, backward-thinking way.
Racist way, yeah, exactly. But it's, yeah, so there you go. So that was Jim's reign, which you clicked. That was your generation. That was my generation as well, actually. But Brucey did actually do it for a bit during that era. I can't remember what it was, but it was the return of Brucey.
Yeah, but to be honest, Generation Game, all I really remember is they did a few menial tasks badly.
Yeah, what you did is you had, say you had a fella come on and his speciality was decorating cakes.
Yeah.
So Bruce would come in, oh, we've got a fella here. I'll do Larry because I can do the voice better.
All right.
I'll do Larry Grayson. For the kids, that was a proper mincer. Yeah?
Yeah?
None of this shit you get nowadays. Listen to this. Larry would be there like that. And he'd say, oh, who have we got here now? Like that. And everybody would laugh. In the audience, yeah. And it's an Anthea had come on. Was it Anthea?
Turner.
Was it Isla St. Clair?
This is before my time.
Well, whatever. Anyway, Isla St. Clair or Anthea had come on. So, who have you got here? And she said, oh, we've got this bloke here who can make cakes. And you go, oh, lovely, look at this. And then you'd have loads of tinkly music going on, wouldn't you? As the fella professionally made a cake. And then he said, right, let's have a see what the couples can do. Like, and that's when it all went tits up, because whatever was put in front of them, like you say, whatever menial task, even if it was driving a nail into a piece of wood with an hammer, they fucked it up.
Yeah, and then a conveyor belt got involved somehow.
There was a conveyor belt, so right, should we give the conveyor belt a try?
Yeah.
Right, okay, well, say you're the contestant, so you're Madge and Fred from Wolverhampton?
Hang on, I'm two people.
Yeah, because it was always a family, wasn't it? That's the generation game. The point is, it's two generations. So you'd have a mum and a son, an uncle and a daughter. You know what I mean?
You've just explained to me why it's called the generation game. I never realised that.
Well,
before.
You had no idea.
Well, no, I'm always slow on the uptake on these things, as you know.
Yeah, well, clearly, because the show's been around since about 1972.
Right, so I'm two generations. I'm trying...
You're two generations of the same family, and I'm Brucey Larry, because I can't do Brucey. So imagine me as Brucey, but with Larry Grayson's voice.
Okay, I'm ready to play.
Right, you ready? So, okay, it's time for the conveyor belt this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready? Dinky 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 ding, dee dee dee, a cuddly toy, dee 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 dee, a goblin tease made, dee 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 dee. Watch out, kids, it's a paedophile.
Keep going.
Sorry, da 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 da. It's a BMX bike, da 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 da. It's something else, da 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 da. A lava lamp. Right, there we go.
Keep going. So, there was more than that, wasn't there?
da 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 da, a jelly mold, da 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 da, one of those trolleys, da 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 da, some darts, da 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 da, the Queen Elizabeth II, da 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 da, a picture of. Right, there you go.
Right.
Right, so, right, what can you remember?
Well, I've got here, a tease made, paedophile, BMX,
tease made,
cuddly
paedophile,
toy, something else.
Cuddly toy, paedophile.
Lava lamp, jelly mould.
Lava lamp.
Trolley.
Jelly mould. You've written these down, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got notes here.
You fuck, that's not how you play generation game, you can't write them down.
Well, I've never played it before.
Well, you're supposed to do it from memory.
Well, I haven't finished. Darts and a picture of Queen Elizabeth II. So what would I win then?
All of that!
It's quite a good game.
But, you know, it's not really... Well, no, it is a good game, because the point is you're supposed to remember these bloody things. You're not supposed to just write them all down.
Well...
They go past you on a conveyor belt. You're meant to remember them, yeah? Mm. And at the end of it, you get whatever you remember. And then, is it the one where you gamble and you go for the car? No, that's Play Your Cards Right.
I'm just here to say, this is the What's With Mothers new podcast. They're great. Now I'm off to eat somebody's head. Goodbye.
So now, on a trip down Brucey's memory lane...
It's a Brucey Odyssey.
We're going to be discussing some of the lesser-known works by the master...
His Majesty King Bruce of Forsyth, the first.
I believe you've got a list.
I have indeed got a list. I've trawled, I've done some extensive internet research on a little known site called Wikipedia, and that's thrown up a few things that I think we'd all forgotten about, apart from one of them. I can't remember any of these shows. So as opposed to finding out what they're about, what we're going to do is we're going to read some of them out and then try and guess what they were about, aren't we?
Well, that should work, because if you look at today's programming, it's all self-explanatory, isn't it? Like, my fat wife, my dead dog. You know what I mean?
My balls are soaking.
That was BBC Three, wasn't it?
I think it will have been, won't it? Yeah, cheers. My shit stinks of paraffin. That'll have been BBC Three.
Is that one of Brucey's?
Well, no, it's not one of Bruce's. I don't think Bruce Forsyth's My Shit Stinks of Paraffin would have got past the censors. I don't think Brucey would have gone for it. I did a Brucey there. Did you hear me?
No.
Brucey suffers? Brucey suffers from John Prescottitis.
You've totally lost me. You said you've done a Brucey.
I did a Brucey, right? I'll give you a demonstration of how you do a Brucey. Ask me a question.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks very much. I went down the doctor's the other day. I said to the doctor, "Doctor, I've got a very bad feeling in my feet and I'm feeling like I'm going to die or something like that." And then the doctor said to me, like that. You see, they carry on speaking until they've run out of breath.
Who does? Bruce Forsyth?
Bruce, he does. Do you know, Prescott does it as well.
Right.
Yeah, but I did a Brucey there. I forgot to take a breath.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Shows that Brucey's done that have maybe left the public consciousness.
Right, well, the first one is an American show, ran for apparently 65 episodes on ABC in America. In America! And it was called Bruce Forsyth's Hot Streak.
Hot Streak.
Yeah, Hot Streak. Now, what the hell could that have been about?
Well, cystitis jumps to mind.
Cystitis, diarrhoea...
Or perhaps sexual nudity in public.
Right, hot sexual nudity. Let me write that down.
So well, just, you know, hot streak means nude in public.
Hot streak, it does. Yeah, doing the streak.
Hot means you're feeling hot. You've got a bit of a Brucey's bonus.
So you think you get a Brucey bonus for doing a streak? What, a football match?
Well, I'm thinking Brucey maybe does it with a bonus.
Right, so Brucey's boner. It's Brucey in a studio in America streaking with an erect penis.
And cystitis
and possibly diarrhoea. Right, well, there's no wonder that got cancelled.
Well, 65 shows isn't bad, is it?
Well, yeah, but even still, I don't think I could have watched one of those, quite frankly. So the next one, Takeover Bid. I remember this vaguely.
I remember the name and not being able to work out what the show would involve. It sounded like a very boring business program.
Yeah, well, what I think happened was this. Somebody said, 65 quid. Brucey says, is that your final offer? All right, 75 quid. Brucey says, right, will you accept that? The other person says, no. All right, what about 85 quid? No. 90 quid? No. 100 quid? No. I think that's how it went.
So Brucey was a sort of, is it an ombudsman?
I think it was, it was like the financial services ombudsman. He sat there at a big desk with two people negotiating. One of them wanted to take over the other person's company.
Right. Sounds really boring.
I reckon it had about, what, three shows?
Yeah, it's a toss-up between that and Hot Streak, which one I'd least like to see.
Well, I mean, would you rather see a... And this was in the 90s, so you're talking about a man well into his 60s with diarrhoea and cystitis capering around a studio with an erect penis, or would you like to see the same man in a business suit with two business people discussing a takeover bid?
I think I'd prefer to watch Strictly Come Dancing more than either, to be honest.
Hollywood or bust?
I'll take the bust.
Right, well, that was another one of Lucy. I was going to call him Lucy. Lucy Forsyth.
That's his daughter, isn't it?
That's Lucy his daughter, Lucy. Lucy Forsyth.
Yeah, are there any other members of the family we should know about?
There would have been... What rhymes with Brucey? Juicy Forsyth. So you got Juicy Forsyth, Lucy Forsyth, Brucey Forsyth, and of course, Bernie Forsyth.
Yeah, JBLB.
Hollywood or bust?
I'll take the bust.
Right, you take the bust. So this is another one of Brucey's shows.
Mm.
I'm assuming you had a simple choice. You either win a holiday to Hollywood or, you get to look at a bust.
I don't think there's... I don't think there's much to do in Hollywood, is there, besides look at the big white pictures?
Well, there's all the Universal Studios and all that, isn't there?
Oh, what, like the theme park?
Yeah, in all that way. It's in California, isn't it?
I'm not sure, but it's still a tough choice. Do I want to go to Hollywood or do I want to have a look at a bust?
It depends on... is it a big Nurse Gladys Emmanuel bust?
It's likely to be a, proper bosoms.
Proper old-fashioned, not 1970s dirty tits bosoms, but proper old, big, bready boobies.
I'm thinking Carol Cleveland.
Carol Cleveland or Nurse Gladys Emmanuel or Thora Heard when she'd hit about 70.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Oh, watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. No. Yes? Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. Yes. I will watch with mothers.
Right, so that's whatever we were talking about yesterday covered.
Yeah, this is a first for us, I think. We're recording it over 2 days, but not putting it out as two parts. Thus messing up our entire numbering system, which anybody who's been back and looked at our things will wonder why we jumped from, what was it, 13 up to 18 or something like that?
Yeah, there was a brief discussion about that on the Facebook fans page.
Was there?
Yeah, people were getting confused when we had a week off. They were like, they were just really confused as to the numbering system. But if they, were able to count, they'd work out what was going on.
Right, and does it actually matter?
Not really. The most vocal of these... complainants was Mr. John Leach, who's become a regular presence on the Facebook page, and he actually wants a mention this time.
Oh, hello, John Leach.
No, I was going to mention him just to say, John Leach, you're a turd.
Oh, so fair enough, John Leach, you're a turd. I'll concur. Who is he?
He's probably our biggest fan.
Is he?
He's,
right.
He's always begging for more material, but he also calls me a bastard on a regular occasion.
Right. How come he's not on the site, watchwithmothers.net?
Well, I believe we've probably got two separate audiences, which is not how this is meant to work. We've got, obviously, the hardcore.
The ones on the site?
Yeah, your Mels, your D-I-N-L-Ts, your Nick Tans.
That shower is shite.
That shower. Clary, if I don't mention her, she'll get upset.
Yeah, well, whatever. She's mad anyway.
So we've got them. They also listen to the podcast. That is our only crossover group. Apart from that, we've got people who read the site and don't comment, and then we've got people who listen to the podcast and don't go on the website.
Right, so that really wasn't what we were supposed to be doing, was it? It was supposed to be all in together, really, wasn't it? You read the site, you listened to the podcast, and then you bought the official merchandising, which will be coming soon.
Well, what are we doing?
Sorry about that. Sorry. Oh, am I allowed to mention that?
Well, yeah, I don't see why not, but I'm not sure what you want about.
Yeah, we're doing T-shirts, aren't we? We're doing T-shirts.
Oh, T-shirts. Yeah, we're talking about T-shirts.
Everybody does T-shirts, don't they? They think, right, how am I going to make any money? I'm on the dole. How am I going to make any money? I know, I'll start a spurious website, and off the back of that, what I'm really looking to do is make some money out of T-shirts. It's the only way you can make money off of the internet, T-shirts.
Yeah, you just put yourself a little ad in the back of Viz Comic, and there you go, it's all set.
So anyway, what were we talking about today?
I don't know, we've done a 4-minute preamble there, when really we should be diving straight into the London Palladium.
Oh, the London Palladium. We're sorry about the preamble, but I suppose you get two preambles for the price of one. And in fact, thinking about it, we didn't do one yesterday.
I think we did.
We didn't, because the preamble was just us talking about Brucey.
Well, that's technically a preamble. As long as it was Brucey, but no specific Brucey period, then that's a preamble.
Is this a mid-amble?
I suppose it's a mid-umble, yeah.
A mid-umble?
A mid-umble, yeah.
Mid-umble?
A mid-umble.
A mid-umble. So, right, okay, yeah. Well, that's a mid... Midables over and done with. So, what are your memories of Sunday night at the London Palladium with Bruce Forsyth?
Well, have you got your fact sheet there? Because I'm not sure when it ended, but I have no memories of the London Palladium apart from seeing it kind of in clip shows.
Right, fact sheet?
Have you got a fact sheet?
No, I've got a collection of words written by me. On a piece of paper. Hang on, let me see if I've got anything about Sunday night at the London Palladium. I've got Anton Dubek off of the 50s is a racist. That's got nothing to do with it.
No, he definitely is a racist, though.
He is a racist, yeah. I mean, they're all. Brucey was on the... this is actually about Brucey. Brucey was on the radio earlier on saying, oh, come on, in the old days we all had a sense of humour. Well, I don't know, to be honest. If you turn around to somebody and say, that suntan makes you look like a packy, which is what he said... Is that all right? Because in the old days you'd have laughed that off?
In the old days you might have, because all the people in the room would probably have been white, but we're a little bit, you know, it's a bit Nuremberg now to do that, isn't it?
It is a bit, yeah, but I, even saying it's all a bit, you know, oh, you can't say anything nowadays, etc. No, what you can't say is stuff like what Anton Dubek said, really. I think that's the line, isn't it? It's quite defined.
Yeah, no, I wasn't defending Dubek or Brucey in that example. I'm just saying that he might have got away with it because people didn't speak up about it, did they?
No, exactly, whereas they do now, and, well, that's holding the wall fucked.
What? Oh, is Anton the host of that now?
He's the host, yeah. He's just come back as the host of Hole in the Wall. And, well, he's shot himself in the foot, hasn't he? Well, he's the next Bob... No, not Bobby Davro. He's never been a racist.
Well, I say this without any fear of recrimination. He is a complete arsehole, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I think he's from the 40s or the 50s. You see him when he's on things. He's on the right stuff quite a lot, isn't he?
Time to time, yeah.
And he's like somebody shoved the broom up his arsehole, and he sits there talking like, hello, my name's Anton Dubek, I'm from the 1940s. And you're thinking, have they got a spiv in a time machine and brought him forward? I don't know where he came from. He suddenly sprang. Well, obviously from Strictly Come Dancing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, he was one of the dancers on there, and then he's a celebrity on the BBC.
So he's only a dancer, he wasn't a judge at any point?
No, all he has ever been is a dancer on Strictly Come Dancing, and yet now he's the host of Hole in the Wall. He's on the right stuff all the time. He goes on, well, I would say he was probably about to start a lucrative career on The One Show, but for once he didn't fuck it up after he started on The One Show, which seems to be the way they go nowadays. You go on The One Show, then you, I don't know, pinch somebody's ass and you're never seen again, or you're racist. That seems to be the way it is with The One Show, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the trajectory, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Anton, I think, might have just been about to go on The One Show, but well, he's fucked that over.
Well, I'll be glad to see the back of him personally.
Yeah, I can't say I'm a big fan. I think he's a bit of a moron, to be honest. But it is a shame because I quite like Hole in the Wall.
It doesn't really outlast what, two watches. After that, you're a bit bored.
Coming from the man who watches nothing but reality television.
Well, it's not reality, is it? It's a game show.
Right, yeah, but, I mean, you watch some of the world's most repetitive television. For instance, last week you made me watch Come Dine With Me, and from what I can gather of the format of that, you watch exactly the same thing every single week. So what's the difference?
So you say that after watching 5 minutes and turning off because they made cheese on toast?
4 minutes.
How many minutes?
4 minutes.
4 minutes, so you don't really know what happens in it. You're no expert, are you?
Right, well, I'm assuming, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming they all go around each other's houses, they all cook a dinner, and then they all speak about the dinner, and then they all vote on who had the best dinner. Am I wrong?
You are, yeah. You've missed out a few layers there of subtext.
It's a multi-layered show, is it? Come Dine With Me.
It's all about human interaction and the subtle nuances of dialogue, conversation.
That's university speak.
Are you not understanding that?
What do you mean? No, no, I am understanding it, thank you very much. I know what nuance means.
Yeah?
No.
It's a bit like Beyonce.
Beyonce. You're taking the mickey out of me!
Before we talk about Brucey's personal life, of which we clearly don't actually know that much.
No, but, I don't know a thing.
I was just wondering, what did you have for your lunch? Because it's almost 3 o'clock.
Right, today I had beans followed by toast.
Right, followed by?
Yeah, I mean, traditionally you have beans on toast, don't you?
Yeah.
Not me. I had beans followed by toast. I don't like beans on toast. I don't especially like beans, in all honesty. So I thought, well, as opposed to fucking up two things, I'd have the beans first and then I'd have the toast.
So it was a conscious decision?
Oh, yeah, it wasn't an afterthought. I didn't think... I went halfway through my beans and suddenly thought, oh, balls, toast! You know, there was none of that.
It could have been a timing issue.
A timing issue?
Yeah, like maybe you put the beans on too early, they were ready before the toast.
No, mate, I regularly cook a roast. I've got no problem with cooking times.
So you purposefully had a bowl of beans on its own?
I had a bowl of beans followed by toast. I don't like beans on toast. Why would I eat beans on toast when I don't like beans on toast? But I do like beans. Well, I don't like beans that much. I'm neither in or there, you know what I mean? I'm not anti-beans. But then I'm not for beans either. I'm in the middle with beans. So therefore, I'm not going to ruin my toast, which I do like, by putting bloody beans on it, am I?
Anti-beans?
I'm not anti-beans, no.
Are you Uncle Toast?
Oh, very funny. What did you have for your lunch?
I had cheeseburgers.
Ooh, you lucky bastard.
Yeah, homemade.
For lunch?
Well, not homemade. They were frozen, but I didn't go to McDonald's or anything.
For lunch?
I know, it's extravagant, but that's what happens when your missus is out at work and you've got the whole fridge to yourself.
Bloody hell, fire. It'll be what do you call them? Microwave doner kebabs? It'll be them next.
Oh, I don't like kebabs.
Don't you?
No, dirty, aren't they?
Well, you're clearly not a man.
Right, Brucey's personal life, right, what do we know of it?
Right, Brucey's personal life, from what I can gather, Bruce Forsyth married a Miss World.
He did, like Morris Micklewhite.
No, Morris Micklewhite didn't marry a Miss World.
Oh, right, yeah, I got the thing that they have in common wrong, and that's that they were both Brazilian beauties.
I think that's right, yeah. She was... Morris Micklewhite's wife, Shakira, was off of a coffee advert. And one night, Morris Micklewhite was sat there, and he said, oh, I wouldn't mind a bit... Well, what would you... How do you do Michael Caine?
It'll be like, that woman on that advert is bloody beautiful.
I wouldn't mind a bit of that. So anyway, yours was better than mine.
Thanks.
Right, well, he rings up the coffee company and says, who is that woman? And they say, is that Michael Caine? Allegedly, says he, well, you know, would do if he sounded like me. And next thing you know, he's got a phone number, he's married her. That happens in real life, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't happen to people like you and me, does it?
No. I think, say, we were watching the... do you know that L'Oreal advert? I think it's L'Oreal, where you've got the two blonde ladies on there going, oh, it's wonderful being blonde. Oh.
No, they all kind of merge into one, don't they?
With a pretty woman on it.
Yeah, okay.
Right, so you got that, it's on the TV, and you think, well, if you're single, all right, love, before you start scowling at me. Unbelievable. This is the dangers of having your missus in the room. But regardless, yeah, if you're single, do you think you could ring up L'Oreal? Well, not L'Oreal, whatever the advertising company is. Say, who's that off the TV? And they'd give you a phone number.
No, you'd have to be someone of Maurice Micklewhite's stature, wouldn't you?
Exactly, yeah. The only way to do that, yeah, exactly. Say, if it, nowadays, the modern-day equivalent would be Jude Law.
Well, he's not a lady.
No, you couldn't ring up the TV and ask to get Jude Law's number if you saw him on a shampoo advert.
Well, I believe he's straight as a die, isn't he? He's a heterosexual.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, do I? I'm not delving into it. I don't read Heat magazine.
So hang on, suddenly you jumping to making advances to Jude Law?
I'm not making any advances on Jude bloody Law. I'm just saying, no, imagine Jude Law's on a settee and he sees a woman on the television.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You see, not Jude Law. You don't see Jude Law in a shampoo advert washing her hair, do you? His hair.
He's barely got any hair, I don't think. He's losing it.
Well, he's losing his hair.
Yeah, he's going a bit baldy.
All right, well, you know, washing his sideburns and his comb over.
No, you don't. Well, so yeah, I've got the scenario now. He's on his settee.
So he's there on his settee in his front parlour watching. Well, he's halfway through Wants to Be a Millionaire, a repeat on ITV3, yeah?
Right.
And he's there in his underpants with some microwave popcorn, Jude Law, international film star, and he sees a woman come on a L'Oreal advert, and he rings up the company and says, hello, I'm Jude Law, can I have that woman's number? And they say, which one, Jude, flicking through the catalogue? Was it the woman in the advert during Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? He says, yeah, it is, yeah. All right, her name's Trudy. And here's the telephone number. And he'd get that because he's famous.
Yeah, so it still would work this day, but you'd have to be Judith Law or Maurice Micklewhite.
Or Maurice Micklewhite, yeah. He couldn't be us. Couldn't be you.
No.
Say you were there in your underpants watching ITV3 with microwave popcorn, yeah. I mean, that part of the scenario is pretty likely. But the other bit where you ring up and ask for a woman, that's not likely at all.
They'd tell me to get stuffed, I reckon.
They would, yeah. They'd probably ring the police and report you for stalking.
More than likely. Do you reckon Barry George tried that angle on Crime Watch?
Could have done, mate, to be honest with you. He saw Jill Dando on Crime Watch, rang up. Is there any chance I can have that woman's number? They said, no, you're clearly a psychopathic lunatic. Well, we know what happened next, don't we? He didn't kill her.
Exactly.
Yeah. No smoke without fire.
I shouldn't have mentioned him.
I'm not going down that path. I've just said he didn't have anything to do with it. It was proven by the appeal court.
So
no smoke
Bruce
without
Forsyth.
Fire.
Bruce Forsyth, he didn't call up and order his missus from a catalogue. I'm not sure how they met.
No, I think, well, what happened? I mean, the scenario I like to think it is that Bruce was at some international game show presenter conference. And she was one of the dolly birds that had been hired for the occasion. A bit like Formula One.
Well, he can dance, and ladies like a man who can dance.
He can dance, but though, I mean, do you remember watching him on Strictly Come Dancing? Is that really dancing, or is that just sort of stepping quickly?
It's kind of effeminate poncing about.
Yeah,
though, really.
I mean, to me, that dance is the sort of dance old men do, that look as if to say, look, I'm not breaking my legs.
Yeah, it's just a demonstration of how strong their bones
are. Yeah, that they're not in wheelchairs yet, or old people's home. Look, I've still got it. And you're thinking, you can't really dance, Bruce, in all honesty. And God alone knows how he managed to hold Tess Daly up.
What, he actually held her in his arms?
Yeah, he held her in his arms. He held her up. I mean, I'm thinking there's some kind of cantilevered thing behind her. There's no way. I mean, the woman must weigh, what, 25 stone?
I was going to say at least 23. She's made of concrete and she's 8 foot tall.
Exactly. She's enormous. There's no way a man of Bruce's age, 81 years old, he can't hold her up. He's not even a war veteran.
No, I think that had to be special effects.
Right. Well, exactly. Well, this is it now. It's all CGI now, isn't it? That's how it's all done with.
Yeah. Well, what are we talking about?
Bruce Forsyth's wife. Yeah.
Do you remember player cards, right?
I do indeed. Da 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 da. No, that's Wogan. Wogan, we've done it again. We've started singing Wogan. What was the how did the play your cards right theme go?
Play your cards right. Play your cards right.
Super match game. Super match game. Play your cards right. Super match game. Wogan. Anyway, wherever it went, do you fancy a game?
Well, right now, of play your cards right.
Play your cards right on the radio.
I'm not being Brucey.
Well, you've already been Brucey, so I suppose it's my turn to be Brucey, is it?
Yeah, let's play then.
All right then. Good game, good game. Is that all right?
You never said that.
No, that's me Brucey test.
Oh, right. Yeah, that sounded all right to me on the sound mix, yeah.
Yeah, how's the levels? Game?
Yeah, top end is coming down a bit. But
all right, my lads. How's that? Testing. All right, my lads. Testing.
No, that's fine. It's panning fine.
Right, okay then. Right, let's get it started. Right, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to tonight's Play Your Cards Right with me, Bruce Forsyth. That's right, I'm Bruce Forsyth.
Round of applause there.
Round of applause. Right, okay. And right, my lads, tonight you've got in the audience here. You've got Swine's End. What's your name?
Swine's Head.
All right, my loves. You don't get anything for a pair. What do points make?
Prizes.
You could try saying that a bit louder. My lads.
I was trying to sound like a crowd by going, prizes.
Right, okay, whatever. Be quiet. I'm trying to be Brucey here.
Sorry.
Right, are you ready for your first question?
Yep.
Right, here we go. We asked 100 people if they ever fart in bed. Our survey said... No, that's wrong.
That's Family Fortunes, I think.
No, it's not Family Fortunes. This happened on Play Your Bloody Cards Right. Right, just listen to the question. I'm there in front of you with me Brucey cards. For Play Your Cards Right, yeah?
Yeah, fine.
Right, you ready? We asked 100 people if they ever fart in bed. What did our survey say? No, it's not that's Family in Fortunes.
So, what, am I meant to answer at that point?
Yeah, you're meant to answer. We asked 100 people if they ever fart in bed. Yes? And you come in with a wee, 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 wee. And you say 94.
Hang on, that doesn't make sense, because you're saying we asked 100 people if they ever fart in bed, and our survey says, and then I'm meant to say... 94.
Oh no! I've got it wrong. Here we go. Right, we asked 100 people if they ever fart in bed. What did our survey say?
Yes.
Say 94.
But that wouldn't make any sense. It would make me look a fool.
How many out of 100 people said they fart in bed?
94.
And our survey said 94. They're all right. That's great. So you now go on to the cards bit. Right, hang on a minute. Let me just have. Okay, dollies, do your dealing. Right? So now imagine two lovely looking women with cards shuffling them, and they're putting them up on the racks. Like that, yeah. This is visual, whatever. Right, now then. So, your first card, it's the Five of Hearts.
Is this
Where's it going to go, ladies and gentlemen? Where's it going to go?
Is this where I say high or low?
Yeah, this is the high or low bit, yeah.
What was the card again?
Five of Hearts. Sorry, the Five of Hearts.
Higher?
Right, let's have a look. Oh, yes, it's the Six of Diamonds. So where are you going to go in the lab? Where are you going to go?
Ooh, that's tough, isn't it, that one?
And the audience will go, higher, higher, lower, you bastard. Like that. That's somebody at the back.
Who's winning out in the audience? Which is louder, higher or lower?
Higher! Lower, you bastard! Probably I'd say the higher people.
I'll go with higher then, please,
right,
Bruce.
Right, okay. Hang on a minute, my lads. It's the Ace of Spades. Is that higher or lower?
That's both, isn't it? It's 1 and 11.
Right, okay then. So, higher, lower. Lower, well, you bastard!
I can say either, can't I?
Hey.
Because it's either 1 or 11, so it can be, well, I'll say
Both higher and lower.
Both higher and lower. Right, let's have a look. Oh, it's another ace of spades. You don't get nothing for a pair.
Not in this game.
Hey, play your cards right.
Father, is there anywhere on the internet I could go for informative television reviews?
Yes, my boy, there is. It's called Watch With Mothers. You'll find it incredibly informative, despite the fact that it's written by the mentally challenged.
Thank you, Father.
Well, thank you for listening, listeners.
Recording?
Yeah, we've started.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. We've started.
Right, I'm recording.
That brings us to the end of our Bruce Forsyth Festival.
So are we doing the are we doing the end bit now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello? I'm recording.
Can you hear me?
I'm recording.
Napoleon, are you hearing me speaking?
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening, listeners. That brings us to the end of the Bruce Forsyth Festival.
Goodbye. I'm recording.
So thank you for listening and goodbye. Say goodbye, Napoleon.
Can you hear me?
It's with mothers. It's with mothers.